Hello.
Hello.
Hey, folks.
Hello.
Hi.
How are y'all doing? I understand.
Still trying to catch up.
Yeah. Hey, Steven. Morning.
And
I know
I
Jensen, she said she wasn't gonna be able to make it, but I don't know if Maccabee is gonna, he I think he also said that he wasn't gonna be here for the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
And
The
I better admit upfront that I did not write anything about known issues. It's coming, but I have been not planning my own time. It has been juggling with mountain of issues. So sorry,
It's okay.
I'll get to it.
I was gonna make
Well,
one logistical suggestion, Jeremy, that you remove the Teams in functionality
it's
from the invite because
Yeah.
I click it every time.
Well, we're at the end of the series, but it
Ah,
does seem
okay.
like since we have one more week left before WolfCon, we might as well throw at least one more meeting on the calendar. Though I still think we probably need to check with the other with the councils about this, but I think this group would be a good group to continue meeting if we are going to move forward with actually implementing community-driven development. So, but maybe it'll take a slightly different form after WolfCon or something. I don't know. Well, maybe that would be a good thing to ask at one of the tri-council meetings at WolfCon. Well, so Stephen and I worked on Friday and Monday and yesterday. Is that true? 3 days in a row did we do it, Stephen?
Yeah, I think so.
And we have put together a big old document, and it's only going to get bigger. I think it's got some pretty exciting ideas in it. I do think that we've been able to kind of pull together a lot of the ideas from the source documents, and then also, and I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but we definitely kind of developed them, you know, kind of a next iteration of some of these ideas. Did y'all have a chance to read that document at all? It's very big, I know.
Yes, and I think it looks good.
Yeah,
Definitely,
definitely.
definitely. I can see both Mike Orell's document and our documents in it. So very well done.
Okay,
Yeah.
anything that we need to change? I mean, there's definitely some questions I have. So I don't mind sharing my screen and kind of going through and trying to get feedback on specific sections, but right off the bat, are there like things that y'all feel like, you know, could be better or could be different?
Only maybe a little about when you say phased. So what
Mm-hmm.
is then phased? How
Yeah.
that might cause a little question with me. How is that resource wise? Is it so we start out with half a PO, half a manager, or something,
Yeah.
or is it time wise? So we have 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We
I'm
we're
sorry,
gonna
you mean for the implementation section that is not that is yet to do, no? Yeah. Okay. Because you
Yeah,
also
that
talk of phases within the dip. So I was confused what you mean.
Yeah, I changed the language in the dip to for that reason. I changed it to step, because I agreed that it seemed like I thought the word phase might be more useful for the implementation of community-driven development rather than steps with, within the dip process. So I ended up I tried to make that change at least. I hope I got it everywhere it appeared.
I think there's still some points left where it's phased, but
Okay.
I would have to go through it again. But in my head it was stuck that it's a multi-phased proposal or whatever it is. Ah, yeah,
Yeah.
here it is, a phased process. Yeah, okay, you. You found it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really an issue, I think.
Okay, I think yeah, I think I got a good eye. When it I think it's a really good point, Charlotte. We're hoping to flesh that section out more. I think that it's likely that the community is going to want to see some evidence of like the effectiveness of this approach before we throw a lot of money at it. So I'm hoping to come up with some way to test it out and like a, for phase one, to test it out with like a pilot project where we don't necessarily have to, just decide on some core pieces that won't necessarily represent a large financial commitment on the part of the community, where we can test out some of the pieces. And if we feel comfortable with it, then maybe in phase two, we start actually funding stuff and, but it is going to take some thinking through to kind of figure out how to break this up in a way that makes sense in like a rolling implementation.
Another maybe structural question also, before implementation, there's the section communication. And is it, I mean, it's under community director development. And I wondered if this, I mean, is it deliberately that you put it under the community direct development only? Or, I mean, is it communication about DIP only or about, yeah.
It's
Actually,
intended.
I thought you can it could be a top level thing, so to speak.
You're right. I think it was intended to be a top level thing. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, that was a mistake on my part. I'll adjust the headings on here. Another good catch. Yeah, because up at the top we say that where is it?
Jeremy, maybe if you share your screen, then it's a little easier to follow where
Yes,
we are
I can
and
do
what
that.
we talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, so up here at the very beginning, yeah, we call it out as one of the main sections. So we say we're going to talk about funding, governance, process, and communication. And so yeah, then we have, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. So you're saying don't list it out as one of the aspects of community-directed development. Funding. So initially we had Initially, we called the communication section, we were calling prioritization. I changed it to communication because it seemed like we were putting in there things that were like mechanisms for like publicizing, you know, what was happening in, you know, in the community directed development process. So if you look at the communication section, I'm actually going to back up this for a second, but if you look at this section, we wanted to bring in the community priorities dashboard that the product council is working on, because we felt like that would be a good way, a kind of a good thing that we already have that kind of shows what sort of development the community is interested in and in having take place. And then the idea is that we would also have some sort of dashboard that shows all the DIPs that are in process and what state they're in, so you could kind of see what development is happening. And then the idea of that developer marketplace from Mike's proposal, you know, to see kind of what development resources are available. So it's kind of three snapshots. It's like, what development do we want to do? What development are we currently doing? And what resources do we have to, you know, to develop with, basically? So I don't know if communication is the best word for that. I don't know if someone else can think of something better.
Collaboration.
Collaboration. I like that. Yeah, it kind of helps us connect with each other.
Communication can only be one direction, but I thought communication is quite a good word for it. And I also can now, I just rethought about the structure, and I think collaboration in on the same level as process and governance, maybe is, and funding is the first one.
Then it can also actually be communication and collaboration, because I know.
It also makes sense, I think, because, I mean, these are the four means how to implement the community directed development, and the implementation section actually, and I think this is the one where I got, where I mixed things up. Implementation is actually. Section is actually at a meta, more meta level.
Yeah.
My first proposal was maybe not the best one.
Okay. It turned out that we had a lot more to say, I think, than we thought we did, and I guess it became evident to me the reason why we as a community were having a hard time bringing all of these ideas together, because when you do, it turns into a pretty it turns into a pretty big thing. But I guess I'd like to talk for a second about what I think kind of emerged as one of the core ideas from this exercise. And I've done a little bit of a diagram. I don't know, Stephen hasn't seen this yet, but I was
this
just
is new.
Working on this. I think that, and this might not actually capture exactly, like, I just finished this, so I'm not convinced it's right yet.
But a good idea to have a diagram to illustrate all of these terms we are using and alternative ways, etc. So I like your idea, having a diagram. Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I was kind of needing it for myself, because, you know, every time I would sit down to think through it, I'm like, all right, what is this? So I'll just talk through this and see if it makes sense. So the idea is that the three councils have distinct roles in relationship to this concept of like spending resources and assessing cost on resources, right? So we introduced this idea of a community resource point, which is an abstraction over various forms of development capacity or development potential. So one could be, you know, various forms of financial funding. I think actually this would probably be, I'm just going to say, probably this probably should be pooled and direct funding here. And this maybe would be in kind contributions, because I do think it's really important to show that community resource points are basically a representation of either funding, in-kind contributions, or, you know, if we have a community development team, their potential effort, you know, any of those things are represented as these points that can be allocated to a certain development effort.
And that one thing I was thinking is that it might be a good idea with some examples on what we mean. So a community development team capacity, is that example giving GBV working with KIND on the ERM suite of apps, and so, NLS working with index data to build reading room loan functionality? Is that what we, yeah, just so we know exactly, this is examples we think of in this category.
So what I intended to mean by that is we have this section down here, and it's mentioned elsewhere in the document, of a community development team, which is actually, and this came from Tom's document mostly, but just the idea that and Charlotte, you've talked about this a little bit, at least recommending what, like, if we did have a staffed team that, like, you know, was paid for directly by the community and dedicated to doing work on behalf of the community, what kind of positions might we have for that? So this is the team right here. The community development team would be a collection of full-time employees, full or part-time employees that are paid by the Folio organization, and their time is dedicated towards just doing community development. So it doesn't prohibit you know, community development happening by directly contracting with other developers, but it's just one of the groups that would be doing the work, you know, could, you know, would be this community development team. I'm wondering, I do think in-kind contributions, do y'all think, we haven't really addressed that in this document, and I'm wondering if maybe it would be a good idea to list that under, where is the top, under the funding section, in-kind contributions. Is that legitimately a form of funding?
So so index data has with a couple of customers a kind of where they have bought hours from index data, and then Linköping as an example, from conversations in the resource access SIG, then Linköping has decided, okay, we wanna, you know, do this work. But it's kind of it's a work being discussed and asked for by a SIG, but Linköping has some earmarked developer hours already with index data. So they spend their money on functionality Linköping, of course, want, but also other libraries have expressed the same.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the directed funding, some kind of directed funding?
Directed or independent funding, one of those. Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm thinking is that, like, if...
But I'd say for each of those types of funding, it would be a good idea to mention an example,
Yeah.
because I think
Okay,
we have it
perfect.
already, but that would help the understanding and probably avoid GBV to be confused about, okay, all the money we have put in folio over the years, what are they considered in this new
Yeah. So we
structure?
do have, we might kind of expand on these. So we intended these bullet points to be kind of like examples, but we might be able to say more about what they are. But
okay.
It sounds like what you're talking
Yeah.
about would be these institution to vendor contracts.
Yeah. And Jeremy, I think it's important to highlight there that we said, you know, independent funding is acknowledged here only to recognize that it exists and will continue alongside. So this is not meant to supplant the model where, you know, GBV decides that they want some specific module development and they don't want to use the CDD process. They want to just go ahead and go fund it themselves and contract with a vendor. That particular effort would be solely directed by GBV because they're the ones who are contracting with the developer. So it doesn't necessarily have to use this process. This process is meant to give the community a avenue by which it can fund and allocate resources for certain development efforts as a way of pooling resources. Because right now we don't have a mechanism to do that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
One thing, the different kinds of fundings that are mentioned here now, they are, I think, they are overlapping. Because for at least you have this community development team funding, which can be an in-kind contribution, for example. An in-kind contribution can also be go
the
into
community,
the pooled funding or whatever. I mean,
the community
I think
development
if
team funding is not overlapping. The community development team funding is, in my understanding, would not be an in-kind contribution from an institution. This is employees. This is a team that is employed by the Folio organization.
Okay,
it is,
this is I think this I think we had this discussing it. I mean, we left it open how the community team would be funded, but I mean, I'm okay with that, but
I think you might be right, Martin, in that there is some confusion there, because I don't think that this fund is overlapping with in-kind contributions, because the idea here is that, you know, we would just set aside some membership dues or, you know, some money to pay some salaries for some, you know, some employees of the Folio organization. But the development team itself is intended to be structured where people can make in-kind contributions of FTEs to that team. But those would be like plus, like additional developers or POs or something like that. So there would be kind of the ones that are employed by the Folio organization and they stick around forever. And then you would have these kind of more transient contributing resources that can work with that team for like a period of time or something like that. But you are right that it's not clear in here, and it does kind of cross the in-kind contributions with at least the calculation of effort that the development team could put forward. Stephen, we didn't really talk about that.
Talk about what?
About the idea of in-kind contributions being donated to the development team to kind of work alongside them.
No, we didn't. We could address that in a practical scenario if we want to do something similar to what Mike did in his proposal, where we have a few scenarios where we would illustrate how this works. But the principles applied, I think, are still the same. That if there is a co-development effort between, let's say, the community development team and a participating institution, that the work would still be measured by the community resource points. And those community resource points would be sourced either by any of the funding methods that that we've outlined here, and that in-kind contributions would simply be normalized to use the CRP system so that we would have a good understanding of what was being contributed and what was still being contributed by the participating institutions and by the Folio community development team. So you could normalize the effort.
Yeah, I do think define and
Maybe I'm not really up to date, but you can become a Folio member by donating, or not by giving money, but giving a certain percentage of FTE, you know? Has this been obsoleted?
No, I believe the Folio memberships are you must pay a certain amount of money. I don't think
Well,
that there's
but
a
it used to be, there used to be the possibility. I don't, that's why I say I don't know if I'm up to date.
I
I
just
mean,
read
at
it
least
like
at the
a couple weeks ago.
on the most basic level, you had the option either to pay, I think it's $5,000, or I don't know, 10 hours per week or so.
Martin, did you? I saw a document just the other day in the Folio chairs and Folio officers meeting where they were going over a spreadsheet that had all the MOUs from all the member organizations. And some of them are, and I don't know if this is like grandfathered in or not, but some of them, their MOU commitment includes FTEs.
Yeah, I know that one of our libraries in our network used to, so to speak, donate time instead of money. I don't know if they switched to money, but I know they did it. So this used to be okay. I don't know if it's still, how to speak, if it's still valid. And I think I think in the past this was for example product owners or so, but you could also say that you can, as a library, you can pay in FTEs.
So
I mean.
I'll keep on moving through the document. That idea is we've identified some of these potential funding sources, and we did call out this one as a independent funding as a funding source, but we note that it's not really included in this community development process. But we want to include something in here that indicated that we're not looking to replace other development practices with the CDD, but just kind of make something new that can work alongside things that are already working. And then here are this section, resource allocation concepts, is probably the newest ideas. It's a evolution of the idea of the maintenance score that Mike introduced. Oh, Martin.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay.
I still have a question in the funding section.
Sure, yeah.
Well, in the pooled funding, it says sources may include and then pass through funding from hosting providers. What's
Yes.
meant by that? And what, I mean, yeah, what's meant by that in the first place?
Yeah, I believe that came from Tom Kramer's proposal. And I, you know, if you look at Tom's proposal, it is definitely the most ambitious from a fiscal standpoint. Like he's talking about, wanting 12 FTEs and and to cover AWS costs completely, kind of as is. And you know, he's looking at numbers around $2.5 million, basically, to fund the concept. So, I believe it was in his document where he addresses this idea of a pass-through funding from hosting providers as a way of kind of funding this effort. So basically it would be a fee, like a development support fee, mm-hmm. that people who were engaging with Folio hosting providers would pay, that would then be passed through, you know, from the hosting provider straight on to the Folio organization, and, you know, be injected into this pool of money for community development.
So it would be some kind of fee per tenant per I don't know. I mean, depending on the size of the tenant maybe and so on.
Yeah, the details would need to be hammered out.
There is actually this has been finalized and hammered out. There was a group that met. I was part of that group who finalized the model. We've talked about it in a couple of meetings, and I'm going to bring a formal MOU for signing at WolfCon by Index Data and EBSCO to finalize it. But yes, basically, it is a fee structure that is going to be given as at the next contract renewal for their hosting agreements with their customers. It'll be a line item based upon the size of their collection, and it's going to be like a nominal fee. It's not going to be very much, but it will, I think, scale well. The proposed fee schedule, I can drop the link to it in the chat if y'all are interested. But
okay, yeah, I mean, this would be my second question, if it's just an idea of if it's already settled,
it's settled
pass through funding,
it's going to happen.
It sounds like it's much further down the line than I knew it was.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it in a couple of the, I mean, we've talked about it in several of the community council meetings, as a matter of fact. So not sure who's okay. Supposed to be bringing that information back to the PC, but where is it? Hold on a second.
Well, we have a PC liaison, a CC liaison. Yeah, so but to answer your question, Martin, that's the idea. There is this new fee that doesn't yet exist, but looks like it's going to exist, and it's intended to bring money in from the customers of hosting providers who might not necessarily be members of the Folio organization.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
That's so, exactly, but right.
The follow-up question would be then, for what can this money be used? I mean, this is under the pooled funding section. So it's, yeah.
So here's the proposed schedule. So $500 to $2,000, depending on, and
well, that, I mean, that could be a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, even at the bottom side of things, I mean, how many organizations are there on Folio right now that are hosted? I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, the problem is, I think, what does it mean that are hosted? Is it for the, I mean, also the question is this a voluntary fee, or how do you enforce that fee?
It is a voluntary fee.
Okay.
Wait, voluntary for the hosting providers to participate, but
no,
not
voluntary. It is voluntary for the institutions as
oh,
well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so they could just
they
say,
can
actually, take that off of our contract.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not quite as optimistic for CDD.
No, but I am optimistic about it, because I believe that we can articulate the value that they'll get out of it.
Okay.
Especially if this CDD proposal becomes reality.
You can also, or what we should argue with is that all this these this functionality that has been hanging for so long, you know, that cannot be going on forever, because in the end we are in risk that libraries are saying we cannot live with it anymore. We are quitting Folio. So this going up and getting more and more customers can suddenly turn and people say, no, no, we leave Folio. We don't want, because we cannot see things improving. And business standard is not yet met, even after 15 years or something.
There are certainly, you know, there's a lot of people at Texas A&M, for instance, that are very happy with Folio. But, you know, I won't lie and say that it's everybody. There's some people who are like, hey, why aren't we using Alma? You know, and I,
and
you know,
there
it
are
happened.
Some strong voices that say if they were asked if they could recommend Folio to, if they were asked about that question and they could recommend it, then they could not. So that, and it's some of the libraries who has been working since, has been on Folio project from the very early beginning. So, so we definitely, I'd say, we are in a situation where we need to do something. So if this initiative is what to be done, then that's the way forward.
Okay. I'm going to keep moving on to, these resource allocation concepts. All right. So the idea is that we, and again, we kind of borrowed this from Mike and like developed it a little bit. The idea being that we would normalize all of these different kind of contributions, like the in-kind contributions or development effort from like a community team or, you know, money, into a point system. And this would kind of allow us to step away from like the math and just kind of make it a simple thing that could be portable from council to council as they have discussions about what resources the community has to put towards development. So we're proposing the adoption of three different terms to talk about this stuff: a support score, a development score, and a community resource point. The support score is going to be something that the TC determines, and this is very much like the maintenance, points that Mike talked about. It's basically just what is the ongoing support cost for a module for a year, when it support being bug fixes and security vulnerability patches and just the upgrading the things that need to be done to kind of keep the module healthy. So we're considering the support score kind of like a baseline commitment to a module, or an application. It's the overhead of having that module as part of the community. We're saying it's technically defined. It's not it's not necessarily subjective. And we're hoping that the TC can come up with an effective process for scoring participating modules with a score. The development score is intended to be an assessment of effort, kind of the cost of doing a specific development initiative. So if there's a certain development project or a feature that needs to be added, or bugs that need to be fixed that maybe aren't at a core level, like kind of quality of life kind of things. This is basically the reason to have these independent is of each other is because we want the support score to kind of represent like just the cost of having the module around, where the development score is kind of for extra stuff like new feature development. And Charlotte, I think this might be of interest to you, just because I think by separating these two, it's going to better help us pay for the maintenance and bug fixes because we'll see that as an independent cost on, you know, we can make sure that we're taking care of that first before we go and, you know, do all this new development, like fixing bugs that have been around a long time, things that I've heard you mention a lot. And then the last point is these community resource points. And these are just kind of a normalization of all the different funding sources into kind of a, it's like a development capacity. And community resource points are kind of the currency that we can spend against either support scores or development scores. So the development score and support score is the cost, and the community resource points are the currency, you know, what we pay those with. And this system, you should allow us to budget and make sure that we are not making commitments that we can't follow through on.
How are you right now? The community priority is partly happening as votes in Jira and wiki pages administered by the different six. But how are we kind of visualizing the tool to get all of this in sync? Is that?
I think that so far the connection between the way that we've at least talked about, and we haven't actually written this part of this document yet, but the relationship between the work that gets done and the community priorities is basically just one of informing people. So the community, so we don't have a compulsory relationship yet established in the system between the community has expressed some priorities and this work is being done. We basically are just saying the community priorities are there to tell us what they are, and then we're leaving it up to people's initiative to use that to inform the development work that they're initiating through this process. So there is no direct tie between the two as of yet. Maybe we can explore that possibility, but we haven't gone down that road. Oh, it reset me back up to the beginning. Okay. The governance section. Basically, what we want to do is just acknowledge the fact that when the community says we want this module to be part of Folio, that's a financial commitment. We're financially, that there's a commitment of resources implied by that. And because we have limited resources, we are only going to be able to commit to a limited number of applications. So we're recommending, and this is something that has been kicked around many times, but we are recommending that we do, in fact, divide up the applications, the software in Folio, into three different categories: core, community, and participating. Core is software that represents the platform of Folio. So it would be things like Okapi or the components of Eureka, maybe some modules that are at the root of the dependency tree in Folio. So something like users or things like that. But again, this is going to be something that's technically defined. We'll leave it to the TC to be able to identify which of the pieces of software in Folio are considered core. And the implication is that 100% of the support score for all of the core modules will be covered by community development. So we'll take full responsibility for the support of those modules. Charlotte?
So should this, because that reminds me very much about the ideas Vince Barrow and Greg McNally had original for Eureka.
Yeah.
So core, platform core, and what was it? No, and complete, and a third one.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't it be aligned somehow?
Oh, with their ideas? Yeah, I think alignment is probably likely. I mean, especially since their voices are very present in the technical council, and since we're kind of asking the technical council to define what the core is, I imagine that they will see that as an opportunity to kind of realize their vision for that.
In my perspective, at least, I mean, these discussions about what goes into core and extended and complete and so on, they were some kind of never ending. And I like the idea that defining these tiers and through this economic restraints is a good idea, I think. So I mean
I hope so.
that at least I think that gives them gives the whole discussion more of what is doable aspect. So
As
I like this idea.
I need to mention that so one of the parts of folio that hurts the American libraries the most is data import. And that is
Yes.
probably if we lose any of our long-term folio libraries, then we probably are in risk of losing them because of data import.
Yeah.
But the thing is that that is just the American libraries who have most interest in that, because all the German library network, they don't use data import at all. They have a completely different metadata workflow, and the National Library of Sweden will also have a completely are not
Yeah.
depending on data import at all. So we also need to balance that. The German libraries will probably not be super happy about with the contribution to fund rewrite of data import.
So yeah,
Yeah.
that brings us very much to the next
Okay.
section.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
No,
I think
you're
it's a
good.
perfect segue. So community modules are like after the core has been defined, and we imagine that's going to be a pretty small section of all the modules that we have. So then we're going to be looking at all of the other modules that are out there, and we're going to leave it to the PC to decide which ones of those are going to be adopted as community modules. As and the way we describe it here is these are modules that are central to the operation and identity of Folio. And we say that this is subjective. This is something that we're saying that should be defined through consensus. So if the US libraries get edged out and it's voted that data import is not a community module, it's not central to to the operation and identity of Folio, which I suppose if the majority of people running Folio don't have to use data import, then it's hard to argue that it is central to the identity of Folio if a lot of people aren't even using it. So that's discussions need to take place, but the idea is that there are once a module is a community module, it can receive the resource community resource points. It can get the benefit of those community resources, but there's only so many community resources available. So the product council is going to have to figure out how thinly they want to spread those community resource points. And that is a motivation for them to scope the modules that we commit to, and we're basically the product council is going to be given a budget basically for what they have, based on the resources that we have. So the goal here is to make sure that we as a community don't make commitments that are larger than the resources that we have to spend. Everything else that isn't selected as a community module is going to be considered a participating module, which basically, honestly, is what everything is now anyway, because we're not giving community resources necessarily, we don't have these community resource points or community driven development. So it doesn't, there might be some sore feelings if someone's pet module isn't selected as a community module, but it doesn't mean that it's not part of Folio. It just means that it's not eligible for this community, these community resources.
Yeah.
Any questions about that? This is, these are some kind of rough ideas. Okay. So now we're going to get into how the councils interface with this. And I think that that's where this kind of comes into play. The idea is that the community council is responsible for budgeting how many community resource points we have. So they're going to be responsible for making sure that the conversion from our actual resources into these community resource points is accurate. And they are going to tell the product council how much they have to spend. They're going to say, this is your pool of community resource points after the support points are taken care of. Because the support points are a commitment. We have to cover the support points.
And for the core, right? The core, we don't, yeah. In our proposal, in this document, we don't leave room to exclude any core from support points. Yeah. So whatever the assessed support load of a particular core component is, it must be accounted for before other things are taken undertaken.
Yeah.
That's important to note.
And so whatever community resource points are left over after the core module support points are covered goes to the product council, and they get to allocate those to spend on whatever development efforts are being proposed on the community modules. The cost of support points and development points is assessed by the technical council. So that's the role that the three councils play in this process. Community council budgets, technical council sets prices, and the product council decides what, you know, what it spends the resources on.
I really liked how clearly you have spelled out these three roles. It wasn't that clear to me before. And when I read the document, I thought, oh, wow, that's really good. There's no, I hope there is no misunderstanding of who does what.
Us too. We spent a long time trying to clearly define these terms and lay out the responsibility. So I'm glad that it's understandable.
Okay, good. This, to be totally honest, I was super nervous about being able to express this in a way that, like, you know, because I can sit for hours in Steven's office and we can convince ourselves that we have a good idea, but yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that other people will agree.
That's so true.
Okay. That really is the heart of this thing, is this idea of, you know, the system of community resource points and the relationship of the council to those points. From there, we are proposing that the DIP process that we initially brought forward still be used to initiate development work. So we changed the language in this DIP process to address these ideas of a development score, support score, and community resource points. So the idea here is that when someone proposes a DIP, it's going to have a certain cost, a development score. It might have an impact. The work that's done might have an impact on the support score. And there might be people who are willing to bring the MOUs forward and underwrite that development effort. But if there's not enough money there, if there's not enough community resource points being bought for that DIP, there is this pool that the product council has. And at their discretion, they can fund DIPs with the community resources. So they can kind of throw additional in. Or if it's a really important thing to the community, it could be 100% funded with the community resource points that they have. So it's this idea of like, for a particular development effort, people can do direct funding for it. They can say, Texas A&M wants to fund this thing, and we can put some money for it. And we can say we want to fund 50% of it, but we really hope the community comes through with the other 50%. And if the product council gets behind it, they can say, okay, we'll add the additional community resource points, and this dip will be funded. If the funding can't happen, if there aren't enough points to fund the dip, then it cannot be approved. You can't approve a dip that doesn't have the funding behind it.
So I am very kind of low practical with some of my approaches, and you can say if things does not exist in Jira, it doesn't. It doesn't exist somehow. And maybe writing up UX prod features for this for the given work, etc., would be a way to start the whole maturing idea of the given work. Because otherwise, who is to be pushing for this dip? Because the PO, as I understand this, is kind of a little awaiting to, okay, what is the work I'm going to work on? Where normally, so we have received some new ask from a German library, and they have sent us some screen dumps, some texts, etc., etc. And in that process, then as a PO, I am to write up the feature, write up the Jira tickets, etc. But here it is kind of the idea for the what to be developed is. It's not work done by a PO, but it is the PO in the community-driven development team. But the whole process is steered by someone outside of the development-driven community-driven development team.
That's a really good
Okay,
observation.
okay.
I think that you're absolutely right that nothing happens in Folio that isn't initiated ultimately by a PO working in Jira. You're absolutely right. And that should continue. We should not institute something that moves us away from something that has successfully seen so much work done in Folio. So we need to take a look at this dip process and figure out where the touch points are between it and the POs and the creation of UX prod issues and things like that. Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, so moving right along, another part of this process is, and this again is coming from I guess several of the documents, not the dip document, but I think Mike's and certainly Tom's documents talked about this idea of full-time employees kind of dedicated to community development. So another part of this proposal is that the community, the Folio organization, does staff a dedicated development team for the purpose of engaging in this community development work. I like this because I feel like it kind of primes the pump a little bit because we can't make vendors participate with this process. But if we have our own development team, that's even if they don't have a huge capacity, if we just have some people out there that are participating with the process, it kind of lets us get it up and running. Charlotte had to run. Yeah, we are at the end of the meeting. Anyway, we outlined some positions here that are recommended. One position I didn't talk to you, Stephen, about that I would like y'all to think about is I recommended a community development manager. The idea being that this would be a person that manages the development team, but also just kind of takes ownership over this whole process to make sure that it's healthy and being implemented and represents it to the councils. It seems like it would be, this is a pretty broad and complicated proposal, and it seems like it would be good to have a person who kind of takes responsibility for making sure that it's being done and being done right. Martin?
Are these all meant to be full-time positions?
I don't think they all need to be. I think
there's enough overlap, for example, for community development manager and developer advocate to be one person.
Yeah, that's true. If they did like 50% on each, that's a good point. And I know that the product owner also, I think it was one of the proposals I saw was not a full-time employee. Technical lead also could maybe be something that is, you know, not full-time. I do think the developers, it would benefit from them being full-time, and a DevOps specialist. One position I didn't put on here that might be good is like a QA specialist. I think that could also be a good role to fill. But anyway, that's yeah. The big points. There's still more to do, but
yeah, regarding these positions, one thing that I don't remember, yes, I watched so many recordings, I don't remember where it was, but or if it was yesterday in the planning meeting, we also have to deal with the release management.
Yes.
I mean, we could say, okay, this is a different thing, and maybe CDD 2.0 or so. But
I think that the community development team would end up doing the work that is currently being done by the release management working group. So I think you're right. It's a way for us to kind of move that responsibility in-house.
I think that's I agree completely. I think that might be like a phase four thing. but there is some work going on in parallel. I'm supposed to be putting together a report to analyze the relationship between Folio governance and release management, and try to wrap our heads around how it was intended to work, how it is working, how people think it should work, you know, and to make sure that we're having that conversation, because there's clearly some different ideas in the community about the relationship between Folio governance and release management. And so it seems like whatever it's supposed to be, it's going to work best if we all agree on how it's supposed to work. So,
One last question. I mean, we have Wolfton in 2 weeks. I think our slot is actually Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have already any plans how to fill up the slot?
Yeah.
Do you need some contribution from Charlotte, me, or whoever?
We probably need to dedicate our next Wednesday CDD meeting to figuring all that out. But I did talk to the WolfCon organizers, and they are cool with us combining Steven's presentation and our presentation and changing the descriptions on those, so to indicate that they're part of one big conversation. Okay, the goal was to take the first presentation and present this idea, basically. Maybe, you know, kind of make a case for community-driven development, kind of talk about the context, the history, the other proposals that exist, and then present and really talk through this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next session, have people come back and do more of a workshop style thing where we kind of talk about, you know, maybe how it could be improved, kind of get some feedback from the community, and maybe explore next steps and actually like how we can see this thing implemented. That's the broad idea.
Okay.
Yep.
It's 3 hours of time altogether. So, yeah, it's a lot of time.
Yep.
Well, actually, I mean, you just spend 1 hour going
That's
through
true.
half the document or 2/3 of the document. So one
That
and a
is
half
it.
hour of the first session will be only going through the document.
You are right. Yeah, you're right. And hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be a little bit better at talking about it. And if I have some PowerPoint slides, maybe I can, get through that the main ideas a little quicker. But yeah. Martin, thank you so much for engaging with this. And Stephen, thanks for
Yeah,
all the help.
yeah.
Well, I'll have to thank you. You did a great, great work.
It's been fun. I understand why none of us did it though, because after I got into it, I'm like, geez, this is
It's
these are
rough, isn't it?
it's a lot
Yeah.
of stuff. But it feels like it's starting to come together.
Agreed.
All right.
All
Well,
right.
take it easy. Have a good evening.
Bye.
All right.